Welcome to Lockdown Trivia. I'm Dalton McGee, and I'll be your host for this trivia podcast game. Playing with their own expert categories, players will try to unlock their brain one key at a time, but will they unlock it all? New episodes of Lockdown Trivia will come out every Wednesday morning, so check back each week for some more fun. If you'd like to play your own game of Lockdown Trivia, follow the link in the description of each episode to sign up. You'll need four expert categories and a favorite music genre. Stick around at the conclusion of each game for some bonus questions and for a commentary on the writing of the questions of that episode. While there's a lot to learn from playing trivia, there's perhaps more to learn from researching and writing it. Our guest this week is Brian Nash from Muscatine, Iowa. His expert categories are Disney Pixar animated films, Dungeons and Dragons, classic arcade video games, and 80s movies. Here's how Lockdown Trivia works. Players see a board in front of them with four categories and five questions of increasing difficulty in each category. The first question in each category is unlocked, but the subsequent questions require one, two, three, and four keys respectively to open. Players earn keys by answering consecutive questions correctly. If a player misses a question, I will take all of their keys. Players can only open questions for which they have a sufficient number of keys. If the player is in a pinch, they have five bonus questions available to them that cannot break a streak or hurt them, but will give them an extra key each if they answer them correctly. A perfect score in Lockdown Trivia is 25 points. Brian, I'm glad to have you on the show. Folks speak very highly of you, so I knew it'd be an enjoyable recording. And so, for what it's worth, I appreciate that you're here. And my question is, where would you like to begin your Lockdown episode?
Let's just go ahead and all of them are, these are all my categories. So let's just go ahead and just go right through them here. Let's start with Disney and Pixar unlocked.
I will tell him the year a movie came out, and I will tell him four of the biggest actors or actresses in that movie. He will try to identify which movie it is. Time to see how we know our voice actors, Brian.
All right.
Your unlocked clue is this. 2000, David Spade, John Goodman, Eartha Kitt, and Patrick Warburton.
Wrong lever, Kronk. That would be The Emperor's New Groove.
One of the most underrated of any Disney Pixar movie, if I might add my two cents. A wonderful movie.
I concur. Squeak, squeaka, squeaker, squeaker, squeaka, squeaka.
He's got it. And all right. He's got one key. Where do you want to do with it?
Let's just keep going with Disney.
All right. Your one key clue is this. 2008. John Travolta, Miley Cyrus, Susie Essman, and Mark Walton.
We actually saw this one in a theater. This is Bolt.
It is Bolt. And I'm pretty sure that the number of movies that John Travolta and Miley Cyrus overlap in is a list of one. So there's that.
Thinking that's a pretty good guess. Let's keep going with Pixar, Disney and Pixar, two keys.
All right, here's your clue. 1998. Dave Foley, Kevin Spacey, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and Hayden Panettiere.
Oh, that was some very early Hayden Panettiere.
Yes, it was.
You did not include Phyllis Diller, who was also quite delightful in that one. That is A Bug's Life.
A Bug's Life is correct.
Let's go three keys with Pixar and Disney.
All right, here it is. 2020, Tom Holland, Chris Pratt, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and Octavia Spencer.
So this one, we'll talk more about. It is one of my favorite Pixar flicks because it's the most Dungeons and Dragons Pixar flick. It's a gelatinous cube. That is Onward.
Onward is correct, and I was tickled to find that Julia Louis-Dreyfus had played two Disney Pixar roles 22 years apart from each other.
Mm-hmm.
You have got every clue right in your Disney Pixar category so far. I don't want to assume.
I'm feeling cocky. Let's go ahead and finish it.
All right, your four key clue is this. 2002, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Brian Murray, Emma Thompson, and David Hyde Pierce.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I'm assuming that's Brian Doyle Murray. Congratulations. This is a toughie.
I'm glad the four key question lived up to its expectation. I said it question. Damn it. Clue. I told you. So what is going to be spoiled for everybody listening, and I already told Brian, is every question in his expert categories is actually not a question in this episode. It's a clue to play fun at the fact that I keep calling clues questions, and Brandon Fellows reminds me of it every time I do it around him. So these are all clues, and the four-key clue has led up to its expectations.
Yes. Okay. I'm not sure. This one is tough. The only... I can think of one movie that I think Emma Thompson was in, but 2002 doesn't feel right. But it's the best guess I've got. No, it's 2002 is way too early for Monsters University. Because Monsters, Inc. wasn't out. Was it? Emma Dalton. All right, let's go with it. Monsters University.
It's a good guess. And I think of Emma Thompson as Mrs. Potts in the new live-action Beauty and the Beast, but it's not that. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, they were all in Treasure Planet.
Okay. I'm mad at myself.
Treasure Planet. Another very understated picture. It's a great movie.
No, I'm really mad at myself because Joseph Gordon-Levitt was the main character.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that. And I was stuck on Pixar and couldn't get away from the Pixar side.
Well, unfortunately, Brian, I do have to take your keys. You did very well in the Disney Pixar category. 4 out of 5 is pretty strong. So plenty of places to play still. Where would you like to go next?
Let's just go on down the board. Let's start with Dungeons and Dragons, please.
All right. In this category, I will describe another blank and blank answer for Brian, and he will try to identify what blank and blank I'm talking about. So here's your unlocked clue. Destruction, divine wrath, or hellish punishment, often used in infernal or apocalyptic themes.
Fire and brimstone?
That is correct, yes.
Okay, all right.
He has caught his momentum now on this category. He gets it.
Okay, I think I see what... It took me a little bit to figure out what you were going for there. Yep. Okay, now I kind of feel a little bit better about what that's doing. So let's try Dungeons and Dragons, one key.
All right, and I told Brian this as well, but all these answers are kind of aesthetically still D&D stuff. So hopefully it doesn't venture too far out of that. Here is your one key clue. Illusion, trickery, and deception could involve arcane illusions, thieves, or political lies.
Let's try smoke and mirrors.
Smoke and mirrors will get you your second key in the category. That is correct. Where will you go next?
Let's just roll right on through. Two keys.
See how this one treats us. Our two key clue is this. The inevitable passage of time. Entropy, or the influence of necromancy and rot.
I think I got half of it. Have two words that kind of fit that, but they don't really fit together, I don't think. Death and chaos don't sound like they go... I mean, they kind of describe what you were talking about, but they don't really go together. I'm trying to think of an and that does. Okay. Let's go death and decay.
Death and decay is correct, yes. Okay. And, we're starting to get into it here. Anyway, yep. Three keys are in your pocket, Brian.
Well, then let's do D&D three keys.
Your next clue is this. The tension between the physical and the metaphysical. The duality of life, magic, or undeath.
I think if you were going for yin and yang, you would have made some sort of reference to something Eastern. Nothing that I am coming up with is... fitting it any better than yin and yang, so I guess I will say that. I don't think it's right.
I think it's a good guess. I understand why you would go there. I was looking for flesh and spirit.
Spirit was in there, but I wasn't coming up with anything that went with it. So
fair enough. All right. Fair enough. Unfortunately, I do have to take your keys. I know that is a tough category, so I'm kind of feeling bad a little bit right now, but there is still plenty of places to go, and these are definitively Brian Nash clues upcoming. So...
All right, let's try and redeem myself a little bit here with some classic arcade video games.
In this category, I'm going to give you the objective of an arcade game and a tip on how to do better in it. You'll try to tell me what game that is.
Okay.
Here's your unlocked clue. The objective, reach Pauline at the top while avoiding hazards. Tip, the higher the jump, the higher the barrel bonus.
This is quite possibly my single favorite arcade game ever. This is Donkey Kong.
Well, I accidentally perfectly picked the unlocked question for you then. Yes, Donkey Kong is correct. And that game is much harder than you would expect it to be. One key again for Brian Nash. What do you want to do?
Let's keep going with arcade games.
All right. Your one key clue is this. Objective, destroy enemy formations and survive. Tip, let one ship be captured. Rescue it for double firepower.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So this is... All right. Were you able to do that in Galaxian also? Or was this strictly a Galaga thing? Now, I know it was a Galaga thing. So let's go Galaga.
Yeah, and it's a one-key clue. It's Galaga. That's correct. Yeah. So... Two keys are in your pocket now, and I now know to let one ship get captured next time. We going to continue on?
Yes, we are. Two keys, please.
All right, here's your clue. Objective, change all cubes to target color while avoiding enemies. Tip, wait for Coily to follow before using disc for max score.
Well, yes. The arguably the best of the isometric games... this is the one and only Hubert.
That is correct. Asterisks included. You have three keys.
Let's keep going with arcade games.
All right, here's your three-key clue. Objective, shoot enemies in a 3D tube-like environment. Tip, learn to zap multiple enemies at entry points.
Oh, okay, I think you went really old school with this one. 3D tube environment... I'm going to guess that you're talking about Tempest.
Tempest will get you your fourth key in this category. That is correct. And yes, is that the oldest one on the list? I think it might be. I guess it
so
remains
to
be seen with our four-key clue. We'll see what happens. But yes, Tempest definitely. If you want classic arcade games, that's classic.
That is definitely, that's 70s.
Four keys in your pocket. You do have a choice now. You can go to any of your four-key questions if you wanted to, but I think I know.
Very true. I still have not swept a category yet, and I kind of really want to do that. So let's go back. Let's finish off arcade games.
Let's see what the four-key clue has. Objective, save humans while fending off robots. Tip, prioritize saving humans earlier to maximize points.
Okay. There are several games that involve saving humans from robots. Defender could arguably be one of those, but they're not necessarily robots as they are of opponent ships. So I'm thinking that the game that you're referring to is probably Robotron 2049. Okay.
But I'm going to take that because, yeah, you knew it's Robotron. That works for me.
Okay.
Was that a series of games or was that just what it was called?
No, that's my own fault. I just in my brain mixed up the years on... There was a minor 2049er.
Was a
different game altogether, but I mixed up 2049 and 2084.
Well, I think the spirit of the show is that I can do whatever the hell I want, and I consider that a correctly answered question. So well done, Brian. You did sweep your arcade category, and you have enough keys to do whatever you want. Where would you like to go with them?
All right, well... Let's go ahead and, since I've got the four keys, let's go ahead and finish off the Dungeons & Dragons category and see if I can redeem myself on that one.
This one is the most Dungeons & Dragons coded of all of them, I would argue. Here is your four-key clue. The ancient and the eternal. Dwarves and giants, mountains and the heavens.
Earth and sky?
I will accept that as a correct answer, because it's very close and also probably a phrase that fits that. I put stone and sky...
Okay.
But Earth and Sky, I've also heard, and that definitely fits the clue. So we're going to give that one to you as well. It's been a couple gray area ones, and maybe that's what the debrief is going to talk about in this episode. But yeah, Brian, that works for me. We'll give you that one. And you plenty of keys still to do whatever you want. Now the question is, how will you approach these final 10 with the keys you have?
So just to get my feet wet, let's go with the 80s movies Unlocked, please.
All right, the unlocked clue, and I'm going to be sending you the images on Discord as well so that you can see the tweets I'm talking about. In this category, I will tweet as an overly excited mom who just left an 80s movie, and Brian will try to tell me what movie she's tweeting about. Your unlocked 80s movies clue is this. Baby's Talking, Hilarious. I swear that's what mine are thinking. Hashtag mom life.
Babies talking in an 80s movie. I'm gonna assume that this has got to be Bruce Willis and Kirsten Dunst. No, it's not her. Kirstie Alley and John Travolta in Look Who's Talking.
Look Who's Talking is correct. And you have got your feet wet in the 80s movies category. Now, right. What will you do next?
Oh, I see what we're doing here. Well, let's go ahead and, you know what? Let's go ahead and jump to the four key question in this one.
The four key 80s movies clue. And by the way, I hope you pay attention to the details of the mom's names and their Twitter handles. I put some thought into that. Your four key clue is this. Beautiful, heartbreaking, touching. I hugged my boys so tight. Hashtag brothers forever.
Full heartbreaking, touching. Hugged my boys so tight. Brothers forever. In an 80s movie, Carpool Karaoke Mom. Nice.
The first one was Crafty Crockpot Queen.
All right. Beautiful, heartbreaking, touching. In an 80s movie about brothers and a heartbreaking movie about brothers. All right, let's see here. This is going to be one of those that if I don't get this and you're going to give me the answer, maybe, oh, that's so obvious.
Hopefully it won't be quite as bad as Treasure Planet in terms of how it makes you feel.
I don't think this is going to be Blues Brothers. I'm trying to think of like brothers working together, brothers fighting together. Beautiful, heartbreaking, touching. I mean, Red Dawn had some heartbreaking stuff with a pair of brothers with, spoilers, with Patrick Swayze and Charlie Sheen. Brothers. Oh, wait a minute. Is this Twins?
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
It is not what I'm looking for.
Okay.
I'm looking for Rain Man.
Oh, okay. All right. That does make sense.
So Rain Man, one of my favorite movies from the 80s. So unfortunately, the Crockpot Queen was unable to get you that key, and I do have to take all your keys away now, but
okay,
you have 5 bonus questions still on the board, and that gives you plenty of chances to get back into your 80s movies category. Which bonus question would you like to go to first?
Let's go with before and after.
My favorite category of trivia. Here's your before and after clue. A famous line from William Shakespeare's As You Like It, illustrating the transient nature of life, plus a country music festival that shares its venue with Coachella.
Shakespeare is not one of my strengths. I know some. Sad to say, I'm not pulling anything from either side here. I'm going to have to pass on this one.
All right. Before and after is one of those clues. I think the reason I like it so much is it's a true like team effort, typically, on before mm-hmm. and afters. The quote from As You Like It is, "All the world's a stage." And the festival is Stagecoach. So okay. All the world's a stagecoach is the correct answer to this one.
Even if I had been able to pull the clue for the Shakespeare, I wouldn't have gotten Stagecoach. So fair I've never enough. Heard of that.
All right. Brian, plenty of bonus questions left. Where to next?
Let's try When in the World.
Here come 3 events, and you'll try to tell me what year they all happened. Those 3 are this. Dolly the Sheep is cloned. The Macarena becomes a global dance craze. Tupac Shakur is shot and killed in Las Vegas.
All right, so there are things that I remember. I remember the Macarena being so big that they actually got the president and his wife on screen at a sporting event, and they were even doing the Macarena with the crowd.
I remember this clip that you mentioned. It might help. It would help a lot to know which president that is for the context of this clue.
Yes, and that's why it's kind of helping, because I remember that it was Bill and Hillary Clinton that were doing this. So, all right. So that has to put it somewhere after 92. And the early 90s was when I was doing some of my most prolific clubbing. So I'm going to say 1993.
It is actually the beginning of his second term when this happened. 96 is okay. When all three of those things happened. So unfortunately, not able to get that one, but we have more places to work.
All right. This is starting to get a little more desperate here.
It's getting tense now. It's getting dramatic for the listener, too.
All right. Let's try a little Stormy trivia.
Yeah, Stormy trivia. Something I think you should know based on what I know about you. Here is your first question of the game.
All right.
Major companies have manufacturing facilities in Davenport, Iowa, including Kraft Heinz, Nestle Purina, Sears Manufacturing, and what other company who is headquartered in Moline, Illinois?
So Davenport and Moline are two of the four Quad Cities in the Quad Cities region. Some argue that East Moline is the fifth one, but it's Davenport, Moline, Rock Island, Illinois, and Bettendorf, Iowa. And there are some big companies there, the biggest by far, and I've actually been in their headquarters building several times. That is John Deere.
That is correct, John Deere, yes. And you got your key that would allow you to get back into your 80s movies questions.
I would love to get back into my 80s movies questions, so let's do that.
And I would love to stop calling clues questions. Here is your one key 80s movies clue. Here's the tweet. That dinner scene, monkey brains, I need a ginger ale. Hashtag nope.
Laundry and lattes. Very nice.
Yes.
chilled monkey brains. This is Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Yes, this was the one that I was not allowed to watch as a kid. Could watch the other ones. You have two keys now, Brian. Are we going to continue in that category?
We are, but I'm going to point out that of the, going back to the arcade games, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom is by far the best of the Indiana Jones video games.
Your two key tweet clue is this. Dustin Hoffman in heels? What can't he do? Hashtag you go, girl.
So I didn't see this one in the 80s. I'm old, but I'm not quite that old. so I didn't see Tootsie. I don't think I saw Tootsie until like the pandemic, where I was just burning through old movies that I'd not seen. And this is Tootsie.
Tootsie's correct. Three keys now, Brian.
Let's do it.
All right. He's going to finish the category. Your three key clue for 80s movies tweets is this. He should have just gone home to his wife. Bunny! Hashtag yikes.
He should have just gone home to his wife. Oh. I'm going. Everything that I can think of involving bunnies was in the 90s. I'm going, what? Like Space Jam? No. Pulp Fiction? Honey Bunny? No. Donnie Darko? No, that's 90s. And then it went, oh, wait, there's a rabbit in the soup pot. Fatal Attraction.
Fatal Attraction is correct, yes. And for those that were waiting for what the other Twitter handles were, the last three were Laundry and Lattes, at Text Me When You Get There, and at Mom Runs on Merlot. So
Mom Runs on Merlot is brilliant.
That's the best one, I think. And that one's name is Karen, so I really was saving it for that clue.
Yep.
All right, Brian, you have accomplished the feat that not everybody does of you will get to every question on the board, so congratulations. So which bonus question would you like to tackle first?
There's one of them that genuinely scares me, so let's try the other one first and go with Deep Cuts.
Deep Cuts. Brian's self-reported favorite music genre was 80s hairband rock, so it's going to come from that realm, and I'll tell him five songs from the first album of an 80s hairband. I will also specify that in this case, the first album is actually in 1978, despite the fact that this is definitively an 80s hairband group. Okay?
Okay.
Here are your five songs. Eruption, I'm the One, Feel Your Love Tonight, Little Dreamer, On Fire.
Okay, I agree that this is most definitely an 80s hairband. Feel Your Love Tonight is what saved my ass here, because this is Van Halen.
It is Van Halen, and my favorite Van Halen song is also on this album, but I didn't want to put it because I didn't want to give it. I thought it would be a dead giveaway. Ice Cream Man is my favorite Van Halen song.
Yep.
So, in any case, you got the elusive Deep Cuts clue. Well done, Brian. And your final question is the one you were nervous about. I hope you're not lactose intolerant. No, this is a question. Your final question. I hope you're not lactose intolerant, because today, as of recording, is National Cheese Soufflé Day. How can you make a trivia question about that? Let's find out. Here's your question. Known for its excellent melting properties and ability to create a light and fluffy texture, what type of cheese is generally recommended when making cheese soufflés?
Cheese soufflé. So I love cheese. Like stupidly. My wife will wholeheartedly agree that yes, he is. I might have had like five kinds of cheese on the table at supper tonight. Hmm. But cheese soufflé is not something that I have any experience with. So
you don't have homework after this episode. You got to go get you a cheese soufflé done right.
Apparently.
Somewhere.
So now I'm trying to think of some of the more fancier cheeses. Is it a brie? Is it a camembert? And I have no idea. So I'm going to be throwing out a wild-ass guess here. I think I'm going to go with Gruyere.
I can't believe you pulled it, Ryan. That is correct.
Get out.
Gruyere cheese is the correct cheese to make a souffle with. It's very French cheese.
Yeah. It also was one of the five that were on the table at supper.
Hell yeah. It's one of my favorites to just eat. It is so good. So, Brian, 20 points is nothing to turn your nose at. That's a great lockdown trivia score, so well done.
That went a hell of a lot better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, actually, you know what? It's interesting because the arcade games, you killed that category, but despite what I thought was a difficult, abstract, subjective D&D category, 4 out of 5 in that one still. So I think it was a fun game overall.
Yeah. Dude, this was great.
Thanks for coming on. Brian, do you have anything coming up that you want to shout out or any plugs you want to make before we get out of here?
Well, the plug that I always make, if you enjoy trivia and you want to get more trivia, if you're not already a member of the World Trivia Federation with Jay Borsum, you should really check it out. It is for $5 a month. You get it comes down to 30 questions a week.
Wow.
And there's no pressure to, you have 36 hours to read them, think it over, submit your answers. And this particular trivia league, there's no pressure. If you happen to not get to it this week, it's okay. You don't get penalized for not turning in your answers. Last thing I will say, I will plug, if you're not going to SporkleCon in Chicago in August, you're going to miss out on something epic. There's a whole lot of people who are names in the trivia community that are going to be there, including Jay. She will be actually hosting some events. So I'll be there along with a whole lot of other friendly faces. My last thing I always say is we all have choices that we make every single day. When given the choice, choose kindness.
Love that. Love and respect is what I always say. So that's on brand.
Yes.
That. Brian, thanks for coming on. You were a joy and you did very well. I can't wait to have you on a future lockdown episode. And maybe next time, knowing that you will come back, I will have a proper D&D category ready for you that time.
Oh, I could throw some other categories in here. This was just the ones that came to me at the moment. So
sounds good. All right, Brian, thanks. And we'll see you next time.
All right. Thank you.
I want to thank Brian for coming on again. He lived up to his reputation of being as nice as he is knowledgeable, and it was a lot of fun to record this episode. It was also kind of an experimental game, and he was a great sport with having 20 expert category clues, no questions, giving me the chance to poke fun at the fact that I can't seem to delineate what's a clue and a question when hosting this show, but Brian was a great sport, and there was some strong subjectivity in these categories that made them maybe more challenging than they needed to be, particularly that Dungeons & Dragons. I mean, there could have been any number of correct answers, as I did have to accept Earth and Sky when I was looking for Stone and Sky, but Earth and Sky was every bit as correct. Those tweets, that was a little subjective, though it was really fun, and I think it was pretty obvious what we were going for there. And then generally speaking, I think what I reflect on with this episode is make sure there is one correct answer. Brian was a great sport, did really well, which made it feel better. Had he done poorly, that would have been my fault, because there was definitely some strong subjectivity. When you're doing research, double check another source if it might be incorrect. That John Deere question was actually initially written wrong, because I went to one source I thought was reputable that turned out to be incorrect. And when I read it, Brian was like, well, that's not right. And I looked, and sure enough, I should have checked on that. So make sure when you're writing, you get a second eye, or you get a second source, or just another way to do some two-factor authentication, for lack of a better phrase, knowing that there is one correct answer. That way you remove subjectivity from the game, because not all your players are going to be as good a sport as Brian Nash. Our bonus clue from this episode comes from the Disney Pixar category, and it is this. 2012 is the year Kelly MacDonald, Billy Connolly, Emma Thompson, and Steve Purcell. While you're thinking of what movie those four might have been in, I want to thank Brian one more time for being on and invite you to sign up for your own episode of Lockdown Trivia. We have exciting new things coming as season two starts, including merch, a new logo, and three different game modes, solo, competitive, or cooperative. So jump into Lockdown if you haven't already, bring a friend along, and get ready for a rebrand that is going to take this show to the next level. The correct answer to the bonus clue is Brave. New episodes will come out every Wednesday morning, so check back each week for some more fun. I can't wait to continue to learn, continue to write, and continue to play, but most importantly, continue to unlock our brains one key at a time. I'm Dalton McGee, and I'll see you next week. I also slap my knee when I laugh because of that movie. When the queen, ha-ha, she does that whole thing. I did that as a kid, and now I still do that. So thanks, Phyllis Diller, for that.
Outstanding.
I struggle with that. I know exactly how to play that damn game, and I still feel like I do better at every other arcade game I play.
Okay. So I have some recommendations if you really want to get frustrated.
I don't know that I want to go down that rabbit hole. I think that that will be bad for my mental health, but
probably. But I'm looking at you, Kangaroo. Don't ever play that one.
Okay.
You'll hate it.